Whale. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about what's going on financially in the world today, but you really can't understand it unless you put it into its proper perspective. There are a group of very wealthy and powerful people who are intent upon destroying the United States of America, who are intent upon creating a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and installing a world leader. And behind that are powerful spiritual forces. And, of course, we've never seen anything quite as blatant as an article this past week by Henry Kissinger, published in the International Herald Tribune, where he laid it out quite openly. He said, you've got two choices. You're either going to do what we want and create this new international order, financial order. What a wonderful opportunity. The financial chaos is going to give us a unique opportunity under our new leaders, or you face fragmentation and chaos. And those were his words, fragmentation and chaos. And that's what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. They have created this financial crisis, and once it got started, why, certainly it was, you know, just begins to feed on itself. And our economy is in free fall. People are losing their homes and jobs and everything they have. And the stock markets have fallen and fallen dramatically, intentionally. It's all manipulated. It's being carefully orchestrated. Chaos is breaking out in Europe, and without further ado, let's go to our special guest this evening, Bob Chapman. Thank you so much for being with us. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right, fine. Well, you have to speak up, because if I don't hear you, I begin to panic. It's good to have you with us. Did you find that? Did you find the article there by Henry Kissinger?
I certainly did, and I thank you very much. And I'm running in tomorrow's issue of the International Forecaster, and I made a short comment, like you have. And, I got to thinking about what he had to say. I saw him just recently dwarfing around on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. He gave us 3 minutes there. And, my feeling is, if you looked at what happened in the market today, and I'll go over it later, but the main thing is the professionals in Europe and the United States are finally realizing within the financial community that most of the major banks and brokerage firms are bankrupt. And there was a slaughter in the financial stocks today. And, my feeling is this. The damage has been done to the financial and economic system. It has to run its course anyway. So I think what we should do is thumb our nose at Mr. Kissinger and tell him that if he wants to fight, come on, let's get it on. Because we far outnumber them. And they're no smarter than we are. And they're the ones, ostensibly, who supposedly made all those mistakes, when in fact, Stan and I know they didn't make any mistakes. They planned it this way. And we're not buying. We're going to fight back, and the system's going down. And once we've hit bottom, and we start to purge, they are going to be the ones we're going to purge first.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with our good friend, Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, you pick up the story there, because I think you have it absolutely right. They've created this whole thing. I mean, where did this idea for taking all sorts of debts and bundling it into bonds and then selling it on the markets with a AAA rating when it wasn't worth AAA, it wasn't worth a single A, which was all defective, they knew it was defective, and whether it be the student loans or the credit card loans or the auto loans or certainly the home loans, they knew they were going to fail, and they have really disrupted the whole world monetary system, and banks throughout the entire world are failing because of this. And instead of doing what was logical when Henry Paulson got the $700 billion, you know, which he could have gone around and started buying up all these defective loans, why he gave it to his friends on Wall Street and they didn't put it into the market. They used it to buy a bank in China, the toll roads in Spain, to use for their dividends, to give bonuses to their executives. They absolutely refused to do anything. And so what's the solution? Why are we going to give Henry Paulson or perhaps the next Secretary of State even more money to continue the same policies that are doomed to failure? Because they were intended to be doomed to failure. If he'd wanted to solve the problem, he would have started buying up those assets, and he refused to do it.
Well, they're going to continue to do it as long as they can get away with it. And now on the agenda is the $825 billion stimulus package, which will probably be ready in February to get passed, probably late in the month. And that'll give about a six-month emotional, psychological, and physical short-term boost to the economy and the market, but it could play itself out in 3 months, is maximum of six. And while all that's going on, you know, the Treasury and the Fed just keep pouring more money in, and Congress, the lowly curs that they are, continue to pass anything the bankers want because the bankers have them in their hip pocket because they've been financing their campaigns for years. And the ones they don't control with money, they're controlling by compromising their situation. And then there's a handful of good guys. And so they're going to get what they want until the system comes tumbling down. How long it'll take remains to be seen. I think you're going to see more mergers.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Bob Chapman. He says he thinks that maybe this $830 billion they're going to put out for the so-called stimulus package will actually help things for 3 to 6 months. He doesn't think it'll be passed until the early February. Do you think that the market will rise when all this money's poured in? Because a lot of this, you know, isn't going to be spent for a year or two. It takes a long time to plan a road, to plan putting in a building, to build a bridge. All of these things take time, so even if they have the $800 and some odd billion to spend, they're not going to be able to spend it right off the bat, are they?
Well, they'll get off and running as quickly as they can, and most of the jobs will be governmental or contract to government, and they'll all be temporary, and you know, a year and a half or two, they'll be gone. And it's just a short shot in the dark. He was talking about 4 million new jobs, and I don't think they're going to get a million. It just isn't going to work. It's a palliative. It's a Band-Aid. It's to keep the public shut up while they try to save their financial institutions.
Well, don't you think really a lot of it is just perception? They want to give the public the idea that they're doing something. In other words, certainly we'd be furious if they were doing anything, so they do something, but it just doesn't work. And, oh, shucks, we appropriated that $700 billion, and Henry Paulson, why he didn't spend it what we were supposed to spend it for. You know, we just forgot to put in a stipulation that it was to be spent to buy up the troubled assets, or troubled assets retirement fund or relief fund. So then, of course, Henry Paulson gives it to the bank so they can start loaning, and they don't loan it. In fact, we can't even find out what they've been doing with it, other than, of course, paying the stock dividends and paying the bonuses and buying up the assets in other countries. But if they're trying to get our economy going, why aren't they spending money here? Why aren't they buying up the troubled assets? And why are things getting worse and worse and worse?
Well, I think the game here is basically twofold. On the holding back of money, they are lending to AAA clients, both personal as well as commercial or business. And I think the guideline for their lending is probably the equivalent of a 740 FOIC. The institutions that are making loans are demanding a 720 FOIC, and the Federal Home Loan Bank is demanding a 650, which is borderline subprime and ultra country, we'll call it. And they've acted the same thing they were doing before, and they'll probably net out about $1 trillion in loans here over the next year or so. But they're holding money back to improve their balance sheets, so ostensibly they don't go under. But I think the word is out that they're all in serious trouble. And I think that they intend, even with all this trouble going on, I think they intend to buy up smaller banks, mostly probably regional banks that have problems, that aren't connected the way that what they call legacy banks today, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, New York Mellon. I mean, I don't have them in front of me right now because they're in for typing. But the losses that today were staggering. I mean, you know, one PNC dropped about 50%. State Street Bank, which is in Boston, dropped about 50% in one day. And, of course, the market was off 332 points, I think it was. And it ended up near the lows of the day. And the S&P and the NASDAQ, if you use the formula I have, you'll find that their losses were greater than what the Dow was. And so that means that unless the government steps in big tomorrow morning, then I believe that the market will be down again. And, of course, gold was at 3:30 this morning. It was minus 5:30. It went up to a plus $30, and at the end of the day, up 17.20. And at the end of the day, the government was peppering, so to speak, the market in gold, and they sat on silver all day. And they knocked all the gains off of the producing gold stocks before the day was up. There was a big swing in them. And they're just trying desperately to suppress gold and gold-related assets so that it'll look like there's nothing wrong because gold isn't running away. Well, that game isn't going to last much longer because too many people now know what they're doing, and they're getting frightened. They're very frightened. I'm not talking about the illuminists who are in Wall Street and banking. I'm talking about the people who aren't involved with them, who are in that venue, who have chosen heretofore to ignore what's going on. I think they're getting the message.
Well, I think, of course, they're creating fear. And fear is, of course, what drives the markets, greed and fear. And when the market's going up, why we're motivated by greed. When the market is going down, why we're motivated by fear. And they know exactly how to play our emotions. When we understand that, why we can look more effectively at what's really going on in the world today. Now, my understanding is that this year, 2009, a lot of the Alt-A and the pick and pay loans are going to come due. You know, there's the Altair, the liar's loans, people who took out loans they couldn't afford. The pick and pay loans are those that, of course, where people bought property far in excess of what they could really afford because they got low monthly payments. They didn't have to pay anything on the principal or pay anything on the interest. But now, of course, those interest rates are going to go up, and a lot of those are going to come down. We're talking about 1 to 2 million more homes moving towards foreclosure. What do you think about that? And do you think that they'll certainly just go around and start trying to buy up these? The government's talking about buying up some $500 billion in these faulty CDOs, these collateralized debt obligations made up of faulty mortgages. What's going to happen there?
Well, I think they'll probably do that, and they'll create the funds just by creating the money out of thin air. I think that the Altas and the subprimes will be over with in June. The pick and pays are about a year in. They're 5-year paper, so you get 4 years to go in the pick and pays. And what they really are mortgage loans that most people just pay the interest only. And they own more money on the homes now than they bought them, and they're probably worth 35-45% less. So they're all going to walk away. And then you have unemployment, which is creating a terrible situation in that market, because if you're out of work and you got lots of bills, you can't make your house payment, you lose it. That's going to be added to the horrible defaulted inventory. If anything is a bright light in that area, I think we're now looking at around 72% drop in the manufacturing of housing since its top. And I had predicted, I think it was 4.5 years ago, and it's in this issue tomorrow, that building would have to drop from the peak about 75% for inventory from foreclosure and normal selling to be cut back at all. We're reaching that level, and I would expect in the first quarter we'll probably reach it. And most of the builders will go under unless government gives them money, and I don't see any reason why they should. It's going to be a long time before there's a lot of building again, because a lot of the homes that are being bought right now, I guess about half of them, are being bought out of foreclosure at much lower prices by speculators. And when speculators find over the next 5 years that they can't easily make money on these foreclosures that they've just recently purchased, then they'll start dumping them on the market, and that'll put more pressure on. And then the FHA is making loans right now, which are essentially either subprime or ALTA-type loans, and they're going to be due again in 2 years. So what do we got? We got maybe a little delay into 2012, until we see a bottom, even if we have $1 trillion approximate dollar stimulus packages, because I don't think one's going to do it, and I don't think two's going to do it either. And we already have the red flags going up. George Soros is barking this morning, telling us how we need more money thrown into the system. Now, if he's that interested, why don't he throw his money in there?
Well, because, you know, what we're seeing, I mean, they put out a couple of $1 trillion, you know. The Fed has put out a couple of $1 trillion. They won't tell anybody where it's gone. I mean, this is the most amazing thing. $2 trillion? They just won't tell where it's gone? How could that possibly be?
Well, that's the world we live in.
And I think it's
they make the rules. There are no rules.
And I think, first, what we have to understand is we're already seeing a massive transfer of wealth from us common people, us taxpayers, you know, to the extremely wealthy. I mean, how could you possibly have $2 trillion put out by the Fed? And, of course, they're not going to say who got it, where it's going. Will we ever find out? We may very well never find out. But the rich are going to get richer, unfortunately. I believe in the free enterprise system. We don't have a free enterprise system. We have a controlled a fascist system of government with very wealthy people running the government. We go right ahead, Bob.
Right, and what they don't know is the plan is not going to work. And the people...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
But people obviously weren't going to be able to pay for subprime mortgages, pick-and-pay mortgages, Alt-A mortgages, so-called liar loans. They knew these were going to collapse. And yet, of course, they were given AAA ratings. I mean, why don't the people who gave those AAA ratings go to prison? What about the appraisers who appraised these houses far more than they were worth? And then, of course, they bought the derivatives to guarantee everything was all right. And there was nothing behind the derivatives. In other words, they were insurance policies with no reserves. Who would buy an insurance policy with no reserves? And now, of course, we're being asked to pick up the whole thing because they created this system. I think every one of those banks should go down, and the people who held stock in there and the bonds should go down, and we should start from scratch. But they're not going to do that because they want to pull the whole system down right over the top of us, in my estimation. Go ahead, Bob.
What I was going to say was that these are all professionals that purchased the paper, of which about 60-65% of it was sold in Europe. And so they knew what they were buying. And they knew where they were going to take these losses. So it all had to be by prearrangement. And I'm sure that there were entities that saw others being buyers and didn't check closely, weren't part of the group, weren't part of the plan to bring down the world economy. But by and large, why hasn't there been a civil or even criminal action against the raiders, as Stan just said, raiders being S&P, Moody's, and Fitch for the most part? And they had to have been pushed into this because they're at the mercy of Wall Street, these raiders. They had to have been pushed into it by the Fed, and the Fed is owned by the major banks. And the major banks got together, and they work with the raiders to give the ratings to these pieces of toxic garbage, which were not AAA, they were BBB, and that is the difference between a 10 and a 3 or a 4 on a scale of 10. And so, you know, there is no such thing as coincidence. This is a setup. All of these institutions that took this garbage in were set up to fail. And they deliberately threw this medium of the pumping up of the real estate market with low interest rates, the whole daisy chain, and then the securities was all put in place to take the world economy down. And who's to blame? The Fed, the raiders, the lenders, the mortgage originators, the appraisers, the salespeople, and all of those people, about 85% of them, lied on their application, which is a felony. They were all involved. And that's the sad story.
But you
and
know,
that's what's
nobody,
going to take
nobody's
the world
gone,
economy down.
But nobody's gone to prison. Nobody's been, you know, or I can't think of any appraisal. It's all a setup. Because if they did not have the crisis that we have now, how would they be able to bring pressure, as Henry Kissinger said, to go into this new international order? And that is the most important article I've read in a long time. And if you haven't read it out there in the audience, well, you need to. International Herald Tribune, Henry Kissinger, the new international order. You Google it in, and or if you can't find it, well, you can always call us and we'll get you a copy. It's vitally important you understand out there in the audience that, and my producer just said she Googled it in and found it immediately. You need to understand out there in the audience, and you need to let everybody understand exactly what Henry Kissinger is saying. You give up your freedom, you let us enslave you, or the world is going into chaos and fragmentation. It's already beginning in Eastern Europe. Of course, over there, they're in Latvia and Lithuania. Why, of course, there's really a breakdown in structure. People are demanding the parliament resign because of the financial problems there. Talk about this spreading into the Ukraine, into Russia, all throughout Eastern Europe and then into Western Europe. It's going to eventually happen here in the United States, and I believe that they're going to have their agitators trying to get this to happen. Why would they want to have this sort of thing? Why, very simply, then they can declare their military dictatorship and create their one world government. They're going to play both sides against the middle, and we're in the middle. We have to understand what's happening, and we have to get others to understand what's happening. And, of course, there's no better way to understand than to read the International Forecaster. And, of course, you listen to Radio Liberty every night. We'll be back in just a moment with our good friend, Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Bob, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
I heard an interesting story today from someone who personally experienced it and was at a special forces base, and they had a large pendant hanging, and it said, expletive, the New World Order. And the person who told me the story said that when questioned about their opinion of the New World Order, they were told, we're going to be there, and we're going to be training everybody who needs to be trained to make sure these people don't stay in office. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people out there who are in the military, retired and active, who don't like what they see going on. And when this thing breaks out, and it will break out, they're going to help the American people, and we're going to help them, too. And if anybody steps in between, they're going to know what to expect. But that's where it's all headed, and you can see that in the arrogance of the Kissingers and the Bushes of this world, not caring one little tiny bit what we think or what we have to say, like we were subhumans of some kind. And they were the anointed ones.
But they are anointed because they do actually, I believe, have deep religious convictions, but they worship a different God. And there are powerful spiritual forces that are at work behind this movement towards the New World Order. And this is what everybody has missed and what so many people talk about, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. They've all missed the spiritual component. You recognize it. I recognize it. But how many of the people that you talk to on a regular basis every week, you know, who do have a microphone like I do, how many of them really understand the spiritual forces behind this movement towards world government, do you think?
I don't think there's many. At best, probably 15 or 20%. And I think, you know, I wrote about this in the last issue, and again, tomorrow's issue, and that is, I didn't refer to the public, but I referred to other professionals in the financial business, and particularly newsletter writers. And the reason they can't get it is they don't understand the whole story. And the whole story includes the history of the Illuminists and the fight between good and evil. And they don't get it.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
They cannot grasp.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Bob was just saying he thinks that so many of the people out there who write newsletters and who write and talk about what's going on really don't understand the concept of evil, that there really is evil in the world, there really are demonic forces, there really is a supernatural realm, and that we are really fighting not a financial battle, we're fighting a spiritual battle which is being played out on our financial battlefield. And once you understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense. Well, before we go on and we open up our lines, and we will, if you're out there and you have a question or comment for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, the 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, Bob, why would you like to go ahead and tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the International Forecaster, or at least get a copy and understand a little bit about it and what the Forecaster is and why it's important that they read it and be kept abreast of what's taking place?
I will, but I have to say that if you don't understand the whole picture, you can't truthfully explain it to other people. And that's what's so woefully lacking. And there are many who understand, who are terrified at exposing it because they're afraid of government and the powers behind government, and they're afraid of being ostracized in their own profession. And so that's what stops a lot of the good information, the truth, from reaching the people, the foibles and weaknesses of others who either don't see the picture or do. And it's a very, very great barrier to people finding out what's going on, and I just wish they'd think about what they're doing and be more helpful. Anyway, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues. And we publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, about 35 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month by regular mail for those who do not have access to the Internet. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, there's three ways you can do it. Go to the site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. The email address, international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And toll free, 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Idaho. Mark, hi. Do you have a question, comment for our guest? And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Mark, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. The question I had is, we at our company have been working with Norway and Ireland. One's a vendor, and then we have a sales rep there. And what I've seen with the kroner, Iceland's obviously had some problems, but with Norway, we had some just a 40% drop in the cost, which helped us, but it hurt the vendor. And with Ireland, with this activity we have going on there, when they wire us money, Bob, would you say you'd see both those countries' currencies weakening, or will our dollar be positive for a while, or is it just a dead-end situation with the currencies there?
Well, we give the trade position for Norway every month, and that's their trade position balance of payments deficit in this case, not counting oil. And the price of oil has come down, so that's hurt Norway. And they were running a deficit, not huge, but they were running a deficit. And so as a non-euro currency, I think probably they'll generally follow other currencies in Europe, not the pound, because I think the pound is going to get slaughtered. And it was down eight pence today, which is, I mean, 5 pence is large. Usually those swings are 1 or 1.5 pence or something like that. And so I don't think Norway's going to be in a special problem. Ireland is. I think that, first of all, back in 1992, I said one interest rate will not fit every country that's in the Eurozone. And now there's 16. There was 12 then. And it's proven, because the low interest rates that were generated to help larger economies such as Germany and France, they gave Spain and Ireland, Greece, Italy, and Portugal a gift. And they shouldn't have had interest rates that low. And so Ireland's in deep trouble. And I think that what's going to probably happen is that there's a good chance the euro is going to break up. And it could be soon, but I'd rather think it might take another year or so. But it could be soon. And
would you say, if you get too deep into jobs or operations there, that by the time you get paid, that it, you may want to, well, obviously you ask, hey, send the funds in U.S. dollars because it's better, or I mean, that's the way it would be, but would it be not, or advisable just to cut operations there because it's just they could weaken so fast that you may never get any money out of it. Or
well, I would bill U.S. dollars, and you know, in a 30-day time frame, and then I think you can protect yourself in the short term, particularly with the euro. I'm not too concerned about the krona, whether it's Norwegian, Danish, or Swedish. I think they'll hold up reasonably well, but the euro is going to have a hard time. Italy should have never been allowed to join. They weren't in a financial position to do so, and it's just something that should have never happened. The euro should have never happened. There's no constitution for Europe. It was voted down by Ireland, which is one of the greatest things I've ever done since they saved civilization and during the Dark Ages. But I think if you continue to operate, and you can do so, they just bill in dollars. And if they don't want to do that, just say, well, we're going to have to shut down.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, Mark.
Hey, thank you very much. Good day.
You're more than welcome. And I think that we're going to have real problems. Of course, the whole idea of the euro was, of course, to create a government over there for the whole of Europe, and then to begin to create these similar units here in North America, South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia, and then eventually to join them all together into this world government. Everything they do is to bring about the world government. Well, let's quickly go to Ed is calling from Idaho. Ed, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. Bob, you mentioned that even on this day of wonderful praise and adoration, the market dropped 332 points. You also stated that you foresaw for the 3 to 6 month term that conditions were going to improve. I'd like to know, can you elaborate on that and on what basis you think things are going to improve?
I don't remember saying that.
I thought that the impression I got was you thought things would pick up here when they poured all this money into the
economy. Oh, yes, from the stimulus package, but that's going to be very flighty, and it's not going to last long. Most of it's psychological, and I don't think that it's going to go much of anywhere. And I may be wrong. It may be much smaller than that, quicker than that. It might last a month or two. You know, when you see the financial stocks go the way they went today, and I expected this. We're short three major stocks. We shorted the Goldman Sachs at almost $200 a share. I think it closed around 59 today. And we're short J.P. Morgan Chase at 48. I think it closed around 16 or 15. And also the Citigroup we shorted at 44.10, and it closed around, I don't know, 290. And when you see that happen, you know that it's extraordinarily serious. And, maybe we won't get a bounce.
I think we're just going to have to wait and see. Nothing is definite in the world we're living in today, that's for sure.
That's true. I just was wondering. I was curious.
All right. Anything else you want to ask before we let you go?
No, I think that's fine. Thank you very much, Bob.
God bless. Okay, let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Have a quick question for us?
Yeah. What I think is what's really frightening, what really scares me, is the lack of independent media. We've lost all the independent media chains, newspaper chains. They've been swallowed up by the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and they're part of the problem. So where do you get a voice?
You listen to Radio Liberty, and help us as we reach out and we try to gradually expand our outreach, but at least we've got over 60 outlets every week, and at least someplace in the country people are hearing the truth, and we work very closely with other people, Alex, with Joyce, and they have similar outreaches on different stations. Patch of Butch Paw is doing a great job. So We are reaching people. Don't get discouraged. We just need to reach a lot more, and you've got to help us. You've got to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
You can explain, and of course, where do we get this great new DVD? On the symbolism, the occult symbolism on the back of the dollar bill, you've got to be able to convince people that they are hiding their emblems in plain sight, and there really is a they, and you've got to be able to identify them and tie them into the spiritual battle. And I know you're a Christian, coming from a Christian perspective. So don't get discouraged, Ray. We're living in the most exciting times. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I found it very interesting that Rick Warren gave the inaugural prayer. I thought that very interesting because he's part of the problem, too.
He is. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He has been picked by Time Magazine as the leader of the
spiritual
Christian church.
Yeah.
Well, anybody, of course, that Time Magazine picks to lead the Christian church, I'm very suspicious of, because Time Magazine's part of the Trilateral Commission complex, the Brotherhood of Darkness, as it were.
Mm.
Okay.
That's interesting.
God bless. Thanks very much. And let's go to Mark, who's calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. Hi, Mark. How are you doing? Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do have a question for Bob. Thanks, Dr. Stan. Bob, I bought gold back when it was $870, and I'm facing some financial difficulties now where I need to perhaps liquidate some of that, but I'm thinking that the prices currently are artificially suppressed, and wondering if you have any, should I try to hang on for another 6 months or so? Is there a potential that it could go up sharply? What's your read on that?
I think there's excellent chance it could go up sharply, and sharply for you is anything over 870. And you'd like to exit even or better if you could. And gold closed at 857.10 in the February month, and so you're not that far away. In fact, to trade it up over close to 870 today. So the chances of it going higher are excellent, and especially in the next 6 months, I would hold off until I could not hold off any longer, and then sell and commit the funds to what you have to do to remain solvent.
Right. Okay, good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Stan. I just had a question back to discussions about troubles in other countries with their banks, central banks, or assets. You know, in the bailout bill, under Section 112, our Treasury Department can go buying distressed assets or troubled assets in other countries from other governments. I wonder what Bob might have observed about that.
And you know that the Fed has already lent the European Central Bank that cannot create money and credit in the manner that the Fed can.
Yeah.
And they've lent them, I think it's about $2 trillion.
Yeah.
And so what you say is true. This systemic problem, the way it was planned, was to make sure that a number of financial institutions went under and were absorbed to form a concentration in that process to make it easier to implement the New World Order later as they go along. And so that's what this nationalization or fascistic centralization of corporatism is in part about, and the underlying financial structure is going to collapse. They have done it this way, and it is going to happen, and it cannot be avoided. And that's why, after you get the basic insurance policy of food and water filter and being able to defend yourself, that you should be in gold and silver, and particularly gold.
Well, here's what I'm looking at. A very quick picture between the ramifications of the Bretton Woods, the going off of the gold standard, the tying of the world's currencies to the U.S. dollar, which is not a dollar, it's a Federal Reserve note, then all the world's central banks become tied to the Federal Reserve.
And I think, Mike, that's one reason they want this, is because they are going to disrupt our economy, and as a result, they're going to crash the economy all throughout the world. And out of this chaos will come the new economic order that Henry Kissinger tells us we must accept, either the new international order or, of course, fragmentation and chaos. Those are his words. He's threatening us, and I think that this is exactly what they intend.
Well, that's the blackmail. That's why
right.
I call this the blackmail. It's not a bailout bill. It's a blackmail. And this bailout bill was one of the last things they needed to bring all of the world's financial systems under control of the Federal Reserve System in New York.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go ahead, Mike. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, that was it, that the whole world's financial system through the central banks around the world get tied or come on.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Really couldn't afford it. My uncle told me I couldn't afford it. And now they're after me all these years later, and I'm on disability now. So I had assumed that once you were on disability, you got forgiveness of those loans. But if you don't, then I have a theory how they're going to pay all this tremendous debt off. They're going to put it on the backs of all of us disabled.
I think they probably will. I think we're in for real troubles, Mary, but yeah. God bless you, and I just hope things go well. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Bob. Okay, Bob, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you next Monday, I guess.
I'll see you there.
Thanks very much. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Bob Chapman. And basically, we're facing the greatest financial catastrophe of all time. It is not in one country. It's worldwide. And it was planned that way. And if you haven't read Henry Kissinger's article in the International Herald Tribune, you Google Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune, New World Economic Order. You pull it down. If you can't get it, you get something else from us. You could ask for a copy. We'll send it to you. What you need to do is read our pamphlets on the history of money, what you should know. It's just five of my newsletters put in a pamphlet. And then, of course, one on the financial meltdown. And then, of course, you certainly want to get my talk on the financial tsunami. We gave it several years ago, but you need that and the syllabus. And, of course, we explained to you the debentures, how they're lined up to actually destroy the world economic system. They knew that. That's where they used them. They want to destroy the economic system, and out of the chaos will come the new economic order and the new world order and the new world religion. That's what the plan is. So basically, my talk on the financial tsunami with the syllabus, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by a good friend, Ed Griffin, is certainly the best source of give you understanding of how this whole financial scam was put together. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and certainly the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you read all of those, you will know more than most economic professors, but even more than that, you will be able to begin making plans for your survival in the difficult times that lie ahead. If you haven't laid in a supply of long-term food storage, I can tell you that they have actually reduced the prices at Ready Reserve Food, and if you'd like the price list to know about the getting long-term storage food or getting a Berkey water filter or laying in a supply of health products, and very, very soon we're going to be having a new advertiser, a very nice gentleman who actually listens to our program. I had no idea before I called him, but he has a product called Seeds in a Can, and we'll be advertising that starting the 1st of February. You won't get those products from us. You'll get those from him, but you'll be able to find out about it. And he even sent us a sample. Looks like something I think most people would want to have. Anyway, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But if you are going to try to understand the spiritual aspects of what's going on, you need, of course, to get our talk on the financial, you need to get our talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that, so that you can actually read George Bush's speeches. He laid it all out in his inaugural speeches in 2001 and 2005, all about when our founders declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. When our fathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. What in heaven's name was he talking about? He was talking about the New World Order, which was the plan of the ancient secret societies and the ancient mystery religions, and depicted on the back of the dollar bill under the occult emblem that says Novo or Doris Eclorum. Look at the back of the dollar bill. You'll see it there. This is a long-range plan. And whether George Bush ever understood it, I don't know, but his speechwriter certainly did. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Donald McElvenny. And, of course, we're going to be talking about his ministry. It's called Mission Barnabas, www.missionbarnabas.org, where he seemed to be having a little trouble getting through to him. We'll hope we can get him on the line. But, of course, the name is so very, very similar to Don McElvenny, who, of course, we've had as a guest in the past. And actually, Don publishes a monthly newsletter, which has been around for a long period of time. And certainly, Don does a great job. But Donald does a great job, too. Their names are very, very similar, but Donald, of course, is involved in trying to coordinate missionary activity throughout the world. And last time we had him on, while we talked about the terrible, terrible tragedy that's unfolding in Burma today, people don't understand that our good friends in communist China, who we finance, are maintaining this ruthless, terrible regime that's in Burma. If you have not seen the latest Rambo film, let me suggest you see it. Now, because you wonder why would I be recommending a Rambo film? Well, very simply because it talks about what is going on in Burma. And if you can ignore the drama and the all the violence there, it has a wonderful message about a group of missionaries working in Burma, trying to bring the word of the Lord to the people there, the oppressed people, and the terrible persecution of the Christians in Burma. In fact, one of the actors there was really Burmese. He was and he risked his life to appear in the motion picture and risk the lives of his family because he wanted the American people to understand what is happening to the tragic people of Burma. They call it, they've changed the name of the country, but it is Burma. It always will be. But, of course, it is the Chinese communist government that you are being subsidized with your tax money, and certainly by the organizations you finance, like the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the East Asian Development Bank and the all of these various organizations, all funded with American tax dollars, that is funding the Chinese communists so that they can maintain Mugabe in power in Zimbabwe, so they can maintain the ruthless regime in power in Burma. And if we really wanted to stop that, we would just say to the Chinese communists, we're going to cut off any financial aid to you and in the future, because even though, of course, we are dependent, at least in part, upon communist China for their buying our debt, we have created the Chinese communist government. We put them in power back in 1949. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we go into exactly how the United States government, State Department, brought the communist regime to power in China, just as we brought the communist regime to power in Cuba, just as we brought the communist regime to power in Nicaragua, just exactly as we brought the present communist regime to power in Zimbabwe. Of course, we never talked about that, but we did. It was the American State Department that forced the people of Rhodesia to accept a communist-trained thug named Mugabe, who's still there, just as we brought the present communist government of South Africa to power, as we brought the communist government of Southwest Africa to power, as we brought the communist government of Angola to power. But we can't let the American people understand how the world really works. That's why, of course, you need to see my DVD. It's entitled The World Revolution, because the World Revolution is continuing today. And there you'll actually see my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at the time we brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba. Well, right now, of course, I guess it's not yet appeared, so we'll certainly tell you our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call and you have a question or comment about any of the issues we've talked about this evening or some issue you would like to talk about, because when you have talk radio and your guest doesn't show up, why, of course, you've got to keep things going. And under any circumstances, oh, we were certainly talking about American foreign policy and bringing communist governments to power. We recently brought the Maoists to power in Nepal. And, of course, all you need to do is go up on the Internet. You can check out all of the things I'm talking about. You have to understand that there has always been a very close alliance between the people who really control America, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the communist world. In fact, if you have not yet read my pamphlet, it's entitled Communist-Capitalist Alliance. You need to get it. You need to help us get the information out, because nothing is as it appears to be. And I dare say we probably have Donald McElvady on the line now. Hi, Donald. How are you tonight?
Oh, Dr. Stan, pray the devil's trying to stop our call.
All right, fine. Well, of course, he always, of course, gets on my computer, too, and misspells words. And, anyway, of course, you sometimes wonder when these things happen if he really isn't interfering in the lives of men. I know he does.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, Chris, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry, and then what is really going on with Christian ministries throughout the world, and how Mission Barnabas is working with those ministries.
Well, my name is Donald McElvaney, and I'm a friend of Don McElvaney, who has the McElvaney Intelligence Advisor. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Don and his wife are doing a lot of work in the Philippines. So they're spending more and more of their time while their son manages the shop. So that's really encouraging to see brothers and sisters, you know, who are getting a vision and taking that vision and actually going out into the field and doing something, trying to let the Lord use them to make it happen. But we have a ministry called Mission Barnabas, and its purpose is twofold. It's to encourage missionaries serving on the field and to minister to them and to their families. And then secondly, to minister to the church here at home, encouraging the church to remember that in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, "Behold the multitude, they're wandering like sheep without a shepherd. And the harvest is ripe, and there's a labor shortage. And then Jesus turned to us and said, "Donald and Stan, would you pray and ask the Father to raise up laborers that the harvest can come in?" And that's what's so interesting. You know, I was listening to part of your earlier program, you know, dealing with the financial crisis.
Hold that. We'll be right back in just a moment. Our guest this evening is Donald McElvaney. We have him with us. He's from Mission Barnabas. And, of course, he has a ministry of trying to help the other missions all throughout the world as they're spreading the word of God. And go right ahead, Donald.
Oh, yes. And so, you know, when we look at this financial crisis and everything else that's going on here, and we hear the stories about Ireland's in crisis and the euro breaking up and all those things, it's creating an incredible amount of anxiety and fear and tension and turmoil. And from a missionary perspective, those are wonderful times for evangelism and ministry, because when people are afraid, they're looking around and trying to find some security or some hope. But you and I know that the only true security comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, and the only real hope there is found in the Scripture.
Amen to that, for sure.
Yes. And so that's what's the good news about what's happening in the mission field. You know, and earlier this year we were on together and we were talking about Burma and in Myanmar in the wake of this Hurricane Nargis. And we were able to, with your help and others, able to raise almost $8,500, which we sent over into Thailand. We wired it to Thailand. It was being able to be drawn out and taken across the border into Burma by missionaries, pulled with other monies. And they were able to buy medicine in Thailand, take that in. They were able to buy food. And I even got one report that there's in a certain area where there was a river running, the village people were not able to they didn't have the money or the resources to be able to get back and forth across and trying to do some relief work. And so part of the money that we all sent over helped to buy some boats that were then donated to these specific villages. And the villages then were able to get their people back and forth across the river so that they could do some foraging and some relief work among the cyclone victims. Well, so it's really exciting, you know, to get the reports back out of the field. But, you know, Burma's just in really desperate straits. and, you know, it has a Buddhist military in control, and it's very oppressive. The persecution against the Christians is incredibly severe. But in the wake of this cyclone, there are wonderful, wonderful testimonies coming in, not only of people who survived miraculously. There's a story that came out of a man who had lost his family, and he climbed up into a tree, and he had a baby with him, one of his children, and he climbed up into the tree, and the tree was just being buffeted by the wind and the rising water. And so he took his child and put his child in a plastic bag and hung it up on a higher limb, and then he just clung on. And then when the winds died down and the water receded, he reached up and took down the bag, and he was afraid to look inside the bag, and when he looked in the bag, his baby was still alive. The Lord had preserved that child's life through the wind, through the rain, through the storm, and through the flood. And those are the kinds of situations where when the gospel then comes into these villages, and you're able to present the gospel about the one who controls the winds and the waves, it really rings true with these people, especially the ones who are superstitious, you know, come from an animist background, and who think that somebody did something wrong that brought the cyclone. And so they're looking around wondering which God did they offend. And when the Christians come into the villages and begin to bring relief supplies and just help them rebuild their lives and their homes, the people begin to wonder, why are you here? And the missionaries and the Christians will say, well, we heard that you had needs and Jesus sent us here to minister to you. And the obvious follow-through question is, well, who is Jesus? And so in the wake of the storm, as tragic as it has been, there are hundreds and thousands of people coming to faith. That's the good news.
Well, I really think it is good news. And, of course, here in the United States, we don't have people who are you know, superstitious. We have people who are educated. They've been educated in universities. They have all this so-called knowledge, and they really think they understand the world, and they have rejected God. And it's not going to be till terrible things happen to them and they begin to lose their material possessions, they're going to start looking for answers too. And that's why we've got to be there with the message of the gospel.
That's right. We have to do everything we can to get the gospel out into the world, but we have to be ready for when the really hard times. We've gotten these warnings from the Lord over the last few years. In the last year, we've gotten this incredible shot across the bow. When will you repent of your idolatries and sorceries and all these other things? And when America really begins to collapse, are we as believers going to rally around the true faith and let the Lord minister through us to our neighbors who are in fear and trembling, like we see in Burma, in Laos, in Vietnam, Cambodia, in Zimbabwe? You know, just got a wonderful, wonderful email from a missionary family that had retired out of Zimbabwe. But their daughter just felt this unshakable burden, and she got together some materials and some funds and some medicines and was able to get that, in spite of everything, got it through customs in Harare and was able to get out into the bush. And she hooked up by God's providence with some other missionaries, and they've been going around ministering in villages where there are no adults. There are only children. There are entire villages in Zimbabwe today where all the adults are dead, either because of AIDS or because of the famine. And these orphan children are forming these little communities, and missionaries who are working out, ministering in the bush, are going out and they're stumbling into these enclaves of children who have got no adults around, and they're just struggling and struggling to survive. And the need there is incredible. But, you know, when you talk about this greater globalism, this greater globalist picture, you can see that in a fair election, you know, you can put that in quotes, Robert Mugabe was elected in Rhodesia. When he got in, they changed the name to Zimbabwe, and he began to exterminate the majority tribe in favor of his own. And since then, we've seen these incredibly devastating Marxist socialist economic policies. But in the middle of all the devastation and all the corruption and everything that's wrong in Zimbabwe, there are still solid churches and groups of believers who are still yielding to the Lord. So through them, the Lord can minister to these people who are going to starve to death, these people who are suffering under this incredible Marxist oppression.
Well, of course, the story of what's going on in Zimbabwe is really one of the most tragic ones in the world because, Chris, I lived in Africa, you know, in the years before, of course. Oh, the United States State Department forced Mugabe on the Rhodesian people. They had actually elected a different president. They had elected a man named Bishop Mizuweo. He was the choice of the vast majority of the people there, and the American State Department would not allow it. They demanded they were going to keep pressure on and cut off all supplies to Rhodesia and freeze them out so they couldn't get money anywhere in the world. They couldn't sell their products. Unless the Rhodesian people accepted Mugabe, he was not elected in a free election. He was elected in a staged election put on the American State Department, and the horror that's going on in Zimbabwe today is on the hands of the American people. And where is the outcry saying we've got to do something about it? Mugabe would not be in power. If we weren't backing the Chinese communists that are keeping him in power, they would not be in power. If we weren't sent over so-called humanitarian aid that's feeding the troops that are oppressing the people, it's about time, of course, we begin to accept responsibility for what our government is doing, because I fear that God is going to bring terrible, terrible judgment upon our country, not because of what we've done, but because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose.
Right, and you and I, as believers, as followers of Christ, we can resist the devil, we can resist that evil and stand against it by doing works that bring glory to God our Father. And that's where we have to be doing combat with the kingdom of darkness. You know, I can smile and dial and call the State Department and Congress all day long, but it's really not going to make much of a difference other than just be a statistic. But if I can, through the different mission organizations, and the closer I can get directly to missionaries on the ground, what I can give, the Lord can take and bless and break and multiply, and it can have an incredible effect and a multiplier effect for the kingdom of God. That's why, you know, it's a schizophrenic life that, you know, for those of us that understand the end times, it's a schizophrenic life. You know, I'm longing for Jesus to come. I'm longing for all of this sin and nonsense to get wrapped up. But until he comes, I have to be about my Father's business. And my Father's business from the beginning has been singular. You know, from Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord, and they were given that temptation, you know, through Lucifer the devil, and they chose to sin. From then on, we've been dealing with the consequences and fallout of sin, and there's been a spiritual battle that's been raging since Genesis chapter 3. It will not be over until Revelation chapter 20. And so here we are in this day and this hour watching one more culture and one more country just disintegrate because of the sin of its leadership. In spite of that, what are we as the church, as the believers in Christ Jesus, to be doing? And that is to be involved in Zimbabwe, to be involved in Burma, to be involved in India, and not on a governmental level, but on a fellowship level through the church, through the body of Christ.
Amen to that. And of course, I think it's exciting that you actually have contact with missionaries all across the world, and you can keep us appraised of what's going on in all of these countries. And I think it's a noble calling and a wonderfully worthwhile cause, and we certainly support you, and we'll do everything we can to help you get the message out. It's mainly the problem is reaching the American people, and of course people would like to talk about more exciting things, but I think this is certainly one of the most exciting things going on, to see that God is still working in the lives of people and transforming lives.
I'll tell you something. I don't know how to make money, but I do know how to encourage people. And for those people that have the gift and the talent and the mind for being able to provide an increase in their wealth, I pray that they would put the kingdom, as their money grows and as they prosper, I pray that they put the kingdom work as a high priority. I have a friend in Texas. He's a businessman. He's never traveled overseas. He's never been to the mission field. But he called me to his office one day, and we just had a talk, and he broke down, and he just started weeping. And he said, "Brother," he says, "I know how to make money." He said, "I want to help people like you to go out there and invest it in the kingdom." And so it's not that everybody is going to go, but everybody needs to be involved.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Donald, you go right ahead.
Well, it's not that everybody needs to go to the field, but everybody needs to be involved.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
This bookstore open because it's the only place in Gaza where you can get Christian books. And pick up the story there, Donald.
Oh, yes. And so his family vowed to keep the store open. I haven't heard any reports about that in the wake of this latest conflict between Israel and the Hamas people. But I know that there is a remnant inside Gaza that refuses to leave. These are true Christians who are born again, and who know that God has raised them up to minister to these lost Palestinians, to these Muslims, to these Arabs, because they know that these people are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. You know, it's interesting that when I used to travel and preach about the persecuted church, the worst thing a communist thinks he can do is kill you. If you're a Christian and you're standing firm for your faith, the worst thing that a communist believes or a Muslim believes is that they can kill you. But what these Christians in these countries come to realize when they get saved is that they were going to die as a Muslim or as a communist or as a Buddhist or as a Hindu. They were going to die and go to the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. And when they come to faith in Jesus Christ and they realize that they now have eternal life, and even though the flesh dies, they will never die because they'll be with Christ forever, there is a incredible, incredible commitment that swells up inside these brothers and sisters, and they are willing to endure all things for the sake of Christ. They are growing up in cultures where it's against the law to know Christ, to have a church, to preach the gospel, to teach children about Jesus. But we've grown up in a culture where there's been this unlimited freedom, which has just morphed into license to do whatever you want and take the Bible and twist it and to rationalize anything you want to do. And so we've grown up in this culture where the devil has really seduced a lot of people into believing a very corrupt, very corroded understanding of the Scripture, whereas in these countries, when these people get a Bible in their hands for the first time and they're able to read it, they're getting saved. They're getting instructed by the Holy Spirit. And what's resonating with them is that this is the truth. This is the revelation of the living God to me. And then they're willing then, through the power of the Spirit, to be able to take that same word out and by God's grace help other people come out of the darkness and be unshackled from their bondage to sin and to the devil. And it's exciting. But you know, here we are, we're looking at what's going on in the world, and there's this incredible upheaval, and we see we're coming, we see the one world government coming, we see all of these things just rushing at us like a freight train. And, you know, I see the train, I hear the whistle, and they're saying, we're going to run you down. And I'm just screaming, wait a minute, I've got one more person to get off the track. And so that train is coming to just mow down billions of people, but Donald needs to be jumping back onto the tracks and snatching one more off of that road. Because the people laying down there in fear on the tracks are my responsibility. You know, it's a wonderful Bible story. You know it. The Good Samaritan. The guy's going down the road. You know, this fellow's going down the road, and he gets beat up and left for dead. And the priest, you know, crosses the road, and the Levite crosses the road. And here comes this half-breed Samaritan who was persona non grata everywhere in Israel in that day. And the Samaritan looks and sees the person, is moved with compassion, and he does something. He took his time. He took his money, he took his hands, and he ministered to someone who had been beaten and left for dead. And then, after he paid for this fellow to be put up in the hotel or the motel for a while, he said, whatever expenses are incurred, when I come back this way, I'll make them good. That is exactly, Dr. Stan, what you're seeing the Christians do in Burma today, in Vietnam today, in Laos today. It's happening today. That's what the Moldovans are doing by going into Ukraine and Russia, because they know that there are people in Russia and Ukraine that are suffering under the oppression of the devil. That may come from the communists, it may come from capitalists, it may come from social democrats in Europe. But it's still the devil behind these governments. And it's the devil that's trying to destroy them and kill them before they can hear the gospel. And that's the war that we're waging. And we're waging it here at home in a spiritual, more in a spiritual way than in a street level way. But over there, it is absolutely village to village, street to street. It's spiritual hand to hand combat. Amen. And it's exciting.
Well, of course, remember, of course, when Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, and the devil said, you know, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I can give you all of the kingdoms of the earth.
And he had the power to do it because
we'll be right
he had
back
the
there going on. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Don McElveny. You go right ahead there.
Oh, yes. I'm Donald as in Duck.
Right.
Praise
go ahead.
The Lord. But, you know, it's interesting to see this wonderful spiritual hand-to-hand combat going on in these villages and get the reports back. You know, we got friends of ours that we support in Thailand, and they work in Vietnam, Laos, and in Burma. And it's exciting to get the reports coming back about how the Lord is taking the small gifts that we can make and multiplying those, because, you know, here we're wrestling with, you know, deflation, inflation, all this kind of stuff. What those people are wrestling with is day to day, you know, and they don't know that they can call on their Father who made a promise. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. But they don't know who their Father is. They don't know who the Heavenly Father is. That's why we have to bring them to them. And, you know, even if I were working in Laos today and the government arrested me, I got close to that the last time I was there, but when the government, if the government were to arrest me and throw me out, what would they be left with? They'd be left with the same Father I've got, with the same Savior I have, the same Holy Spirit that's in me is in them, and they've got the same Word that I do. And they're the ones then that I can encourage. Call, go to the Father in Jesus' name and let him know what you need, and he will provide for you. Why? Because he said so. God is a promise maker and he's a promise keeper. He's a covenant maker and a covenant giver. And Jesus said, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake you, and he won't forsake them either after they come to faith. That's why missions is so critical. That's why it's so important for us to be involved in getting the word out there and getting the gospel out there. You know, I got a report from a missionary that just before Christmas, a team of translators had been there, and they had just done a new updating translation on a Bible handbook that was being smuggled across the border from northern Thailand into Laos, and from there it was being distributed out to different churches and church leaders in different parts of the country. You know, I heard a wonderful report a few years ago about a government official in Laos that got saved. And this particular person now is a vessel that the Lord is using, because things are getting from one part of Asia into Laos. They're being delivered to places where he has control and authority over. And then he is able to have, without restriction, unlimited access to any part of the country. And he is able to go out as an official with all the proper papers. He's able to go out and truly do visitation and minister to churches in different parts of the country. And no one else would be able to do the things he's able to do.
Hold that thought right there,
Donald.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Donald McElveny, and we're talking about the work of the missionaries all throughout the world, and certainly in Burma, in Laos, and in country after country in Eastern Europe. Donald, before we go on, why don't you tell our listeners about your website and how they can get in touch with you that'd like to know about your work with missionaries throughout the world?
Well, our website is missionbarnabas.org. That's missionbarnabas.org. And if somebody wants to email us, they can email us at barnabas@missionbarnabas.org. Barnabas@missionbarnabas.org. But it's, you know, it's so exciting, you know, I just want to get back to this. You know, there was a messianic rabbi up here in Washington State sent me an email, and it was a quote from Golda Meir. And you remember back, you know, in the early days of Israel's real struggles, you know, the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, and, you know, Israel's just been struggling all along. Golda Meir just made this statement. She said, we can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill theirs. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us.
And unfortunately, that is not the case today. You know, so many of the children there in Gaza
are being used as shields.
They're using as shields, and they're training them, you know, when they're 6 or 7 years old to be warriors and to be suicide bombers, and how wonderful it is to die killing the Jews. And they're training them in the hatred of the Jews. And I believe that Golda Meir is absolutely right. Peace will only come when they love their children more than they hate us.
Now, that's her perspective. And as far as I know, she never came to faith in Yeshua the Messiah. That's not the point. The point that I want to make is that in Israel and in Samaria and in Gaza and in Lebanon and in Syria, there is a remnant church that is on the march, that is attacking the kingdom of darkness, one soul at a time. The way to make the difference is to win someone to faith. I may, you know, if I were to, I'll pick a past president. If I would have been able, had the opportunity to lead Bill Clinton to faith, his life would have changed completely. It would not have stopped the inevitable arrival of the New World Order because of what the Bible says about the One World Economic Order. But that man then could have been used, if you will, to resist and to fight skirmishes all along the way to help slow down the pace so that more and more people would have the opportunity to hear the gospel. I cannot undo Bible prophecy. The Bible says that an Antichrist is coming and these particular things are going to happen. But the more people that come to faith, the more difficult it is for the devil to put those final pieces in place. Those pieces will be put on the table. There will be the wars. There will be the famines. There will be the pestilences. But in the midst of all of this, are we mobilizing the believers to pray and to give, and then for those that have the burden and the calling to go out into the world and go minister into these other cultures? We have friends of ours that have been in the mission field for 30 years, and they've spent their whole adult lives out serving a different people in a different culture, in a different country, because the Lord had opened the door for them, and they went through that door in faith, and they are content doing the kingdom work. This coming up end of March and first 2 weeks of April, Mignon and I are going to be down in Honduras. I'm going to be teaching at a Bible school, a mission school that's been started there, to train Central Americans to go overseas and do cross-cultural missions. And this first group is going to have 12 students. They've got 100 people that have been pre-screened that are on a waiting list. And they're doing this first cohort going through to just make sure the program works fine. But they are getting believers ready who are going to be going down into South America, who are going to be going into Asia. They've already got three pairs of five students already that are serving in China today, that are finishing up their 2 years of language training. They are establishing their tent-making works. They've got some two couples that are over in Spain looking to go into North Africa. But these are Central Americans who the church in Central America has matured, you know, in these last 30 years to the place where they realize that it's no longer really right for them just to be receiving missionaries and missionary help and missionary aid. It's important for the church now to be a sending church in Central America. And so they've got students that are going to be coming in from Salvador, from Nicaragua, and from Honduras to go through this training center so that after 7 months they will have the right orientation and the right foundation to be able to go over as language students into China or in some of these other countries, get a two-year visa to be there. The church is willing to back them for the first 2 years. And then they will either find, after they get the language, they will either find a job in the country or start some kind of a business of some sort to where they can be a benefit, for example, to China, but also be able to have a platform where they can do evangelism reaching Chinese with the gospel. And I heard a wonderful story about a couple from Peru, and this missionary friend of mine who was traveling over near the Tibetan border in China when he was over there recently, ran into this couple. They were from Peru, and went over there. You know, it's all mountainous out there in western China. And so what this Peruvian couple had done, after they had gone through their language training, this couple from Peru opened up an Andean restaurant. And so they are serving Andean food, Peruvian cuisine, and the place is full of Muslims, communists, Buddhists, and different tribal people, because it's very much like us. You know, you live over in Monterey. You know, if all you have was meatloaf and mashed potatoes all the time, you get kind of tired of it. But somebody comes into town, you open up either a Mexican restaurant or a Chinese restaurant or a Mediterranean restaurant, then people are going to go and start visiting this place. And then over time, people are going to get to know the owners. And then they're going to begin to get in fellowship with the owners, and the owners are going to begin to testify to them and witness to them and share with them, you know, about their life and about their family, about their background. This is the kind of platform that some of these Latinas are getting into in China, especially opening up restaurants, you know, Latino restaurants, whether it's a Mexican one or Peruvian one or Brazilian, but to open up a restaurant and get these Chinese people to come in and taste a cuisine from a different part of the world and have that be their platform for doing evangelism. It's so exciting. They'll be able to pay their own way. They won't be a drain on the church back home. They'll be able to employ locals. They'll be able to minister to and witness to local people. And through that, Lord willing, be able to help get some churches planted and maybe a church planting movement going. But it's just exciting stuff.
Well, I'm sure there are all sorts of exciting things happening all across the world.
It is. Oh, brother. If we only knew everything that was going on. But, you know, John, when he closed out his epistle, it said, you know, the world couldn't hold all the books if we wrote them, you know, about the works that Jesus Christ did. You know, it's just exciting. And the lies are, you know, there are tens of thousands, you know, of missionaries out from America. But the Chinese have made a commitment, the Chinese church has made a commitment to send 100,000 missionaries. I don't know if you're familiar with the Back to Jerusalem movement. But there was a book that was written in the 1930s, and it was about some Chinese believers that had a vision that it had taken, you know, 1800 years or so, 1850 years for the gospel to get to China. And it was the Chinese responsibility, the Chinese church responsibility, to get the gospel back to Jerusalem. And so the Chinese, there's a wonderful book out there, you know, about Back to Jerusalem, and it's about how the Chinese church has this vision to send 100,000 missionaries to the West, marching all the way back to Jerusalem, crossing through all of these Muslim countries. Dr. Stan, these are countries, if you and I showed up, we'd get shot. But these Chinese people can come in as laborers, as guest workers, as entrepreneurs, as tradesmen, you know, taking the Silk Road and taking it all the way back to the Middle East again. And it's so exciting to hear that in different countries, the believers are really waking up to this day and this hour, and the fact that there's so many billions of people that still haven't heard the name of Jesus, and they need to hear his name so that they can believe on the Lord and be saved. So it's, you know, it's just exciting, you know, what's going on in Laos and Thailand and Burma and in India. You know, the persecution in India, especially up in the Orissa state, is absolutely horrendous. You know, when I worked with a different ministry a number of years ago, I saw pictures of a pastor in India, and he was skinned alive. This is a Christian pastor in India was skinned alive by Hindu fundamentalists because he was preaching the gospel and Hindus were getting saved. Jesus isn't one out of 36 million. He's the only one. These people worship millions and millions of idols, but Jesus is the God above all gods. He's the only one true God. You know, in Isaiah, I think it's 6 or 7 different times, the Lord is speaking through Isaiah and says, I am the Lord God. There is no other. There is no other God. And you know, in the commandments, the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Make no graven image. Have no other gods before me. I am God Almighty. And this whole thing that we're watching, you know, this whole economic meltdown in America, it's because of, you know, and I think Wall Street is just getting a bum rap because they're getting targeted and say it's those greedy Wall Street people. No. It's corrupt politicians, it's greed on Wall Street, but it's also the greedy citizen who's lusting after more and more stuff and will not say no to the flesh. If American, and I'll say this in broad brush, if the American people were not whoring after cheap goods, China wouldn't be sending all that stuff over here to sell. And it's just more and more and more. And they've been seduced by the devil into buying into a consumer material mentality. And so it's all about me, and I just want more, more, more. When Jesus comes, and his message is about self-denial. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me.
Amen. Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel, and Herman's a good friend of ours. And hi, Herman. How are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Oh, it's really exciting to hear both of you talk on these issues. Yes, I tuned in a little bit late, but what is your view of the need for re-evangelization or missionary work here in the United States?
You know, when I was in seminary, a lot of people talked about postmodernism And, you know, here we are living in a post-Christian culture. Well, and they said, how are we going to reach, you know, the people today? Well, America today is the same as Corinth was when Paul showed up the first time. There was no gospel there. There was no truth there. There was no real understanding in the general population about the things of truth and the things of God. And I think America needs to be evangelized. I think America needs a revival. But, brother, as we look at the history of revivals, it only comes when Stan, when you, when I, when the three of us come together and commit ourselves to pray and ask the Lord of glory to do something. When you and I break, when our hearts are broken, and when we are poured out at the mercy seat of the Lord God, that is when a revival can come. It's when the church breaks, when the true believers become so overwhelmed with what's going on around them, they just cry out with a broken heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, do something. I've read several histories about the Welsh revival that happened back in 1904, 1906, in that area, that time period.
Mm-hmm.
The preparation was all through prayer and brokenness. People began to show up at church just broken and weeping before the Lord about their own struggle and their own sin and their own heart, and then began to just cry out and ask the Lord to do something. But when the revival got started, the entire Welsh revival only lasted about 6 months. The entire country was evangelized. And the Spirit was moving in such a wonderful way that people were just showing up at church.
Right, and they say the jails were closed down because there weren't enough prisoners.
Absolutely right. Well, you know, on that note, in China, I read reports that there are certain towns in China where the gospel has been so effective that the police don't really have much to do. In China, it all depends on who's running that state or that city. So in some parts of China, the persecution is absolutely unrelenting and brutal. And in other parts of it, it's not nearly as bad. And in some parts of China, there are so many believers, and it is such a peaceful and contented population, the cops are bored. But that's what happened in the wake of that Welsh revival.
Well, you know, watching this inauguration that has occurred and the lead-up last night, and, you know, we had all the American flags behind the speakers, and then everybody was mouthing, God bless America, and it suddenly dawned on me, you know, I've been hearing our leaders say for years, God bless America. You know, I don't know if foreigners do that in their countries, but I realize what an arrogant statement to make.
Yeah,
why should
sin.
God bless America if we aren't following him? And the second thing is, which God are they talking about?
Very well, that's great discernment. Which God are they talking about? Is it the God of the New Age? You know, there's hundreds of those. You know, is it the God of Hinduism, the God of Buddhism? You know, who is it? Which God?
Mm-hmm.
I heard...
Because something, and I'll just bring this up, when the inauguration occurred, The man, Rick Warren, he led into the Lord's Prayer, and the cameras focused right on Barack Obama as Rick Warren was reciting the Lord's Prayer. Now, most churches or places I've been to, when there is when they start reciting the Lord's Prayer, everybody in unison
everybody
starts reciting.
Joins in.
His mouth was completely shut, and again, it's not my job to judge him. At the end, he did mouth some sort of amen. But, and maybe that's just cultural where he didn't feel it was appropriate to say the words. But, you know, for somebody, again, there's been a lot of controversy, what are his beliefs or whatever. But it just was an interesting thing. The camera was right on him. His lips never moved. And that, if any place, that would have been a time for him to show, well, yes, I do believe this. So whatever it's worth, that was an observation.
And
all right, fine. Well, anything else you want to say, Herman, before we let you go?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right,
you.
God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Give us your website. Give us your website again.
Oh, okay. The website is missionbarnabas.org.
That's www.missionbarnabas.org.
And the email is barnabas@missionbarnabas.org.
Great. Thank you. God bless.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling, Herman.
All right,
you know,
fine.
Sure, Dr. Stan, if your program, you know, some of the people that you have on, what they are documenting is that you can't rely on the institution of government.
Amen to that.
What hope is there? If we can't rely on the government, where do we turn?
We have to turn to the Lord.
We have
to turn to the Lord. Well, of course, basically the government can never solve our problem. It is our problem. The only thing that's going to help us and see us through the difficult times that lie ahead is our Lord. We're going to be, we've got Ray on the line here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening has been Donald McElveny, and of course his ministry is www.missionbarnabas.org. He's on the front lines, you know, coordinating mission activities all throughout the world. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And certainly he's one of our connections with the missionary work, which we fully support. Because after all, when all is said and done, and we've talked about conspiracies and finance and health and all the things we talk about here, in the final analysis, this is a spiritual battle we're involved in. And we actually have an excellent series of DVDs with Pastor Billy Crone. It's called The Final Countdown. We've recommended to you. There are 5 DVDs in Part 1 and 5 DVDs in Part 2. And Pastor Crone will be back with us again next week as we take you to number 4 in his series, The Final Countdown. We've done 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and we're going to 4. Because I believe with all my heart that we are seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And after you've seen these DVDs, why, of course, we hope that you'll agree with us. You'll see the scripture. You'll read the scripture on the screen. You'll watch the videos. He's accumulated a tremendous library of excellent videos to back up what he says. We carry his four DVD set on our RFID. That's the radio frequency identification chip. And basically, they already have the law of the United States that every farm animal, even if you have a chicken, that chicken is to be registered with the federal government. Ridiculous? Of course it's ridiculous, but they want you to have an RFID identifier on that chicken. And, of course, if you have a goat, you're supposed to have it registered with the federal government. If you don't, you're in violation of the federal law. And, of course, they want every object in the store, and eventually every person to have the RFID number. So it's an excellent four-DVD set. Billy's done a wonderful job of that. We also have a 10-DVD set in two parts, part one, part two on creation. And then, of course, we have the four-tape set of my interviews. It's called Spy Chips, going to RFID. We have the book called Spy Chips. You need to understand what's going on. You need to get our talk on the planned police state, and the syllabus goes with that. They really are planning a police state in America. You need to get our four-tape set on concentration camps, our DVD, America Behind Barbed Wire. Or get the concentration camp special that, of course, includes our material on the planned police state and the DVD on concentration camps. And the four-tape set on concentration camps. That's the concentration camp special. You must understand this is not imaginary. It's real. Why would you want to know about that? So you can talk to other people, because people are not going to really want to come to know the Lord unless they know there's a problem. Well, I think that a lot of people are going to learn there's a problem very soon, as our whole financial system goes into free fall, and more people lose their homes, and more people lose their jobs and their cars, and of course, eventually, why, the savings of the American people will be destroyed through inflation, your pension will be destroyed, and the health care system will break down, and we're going to move into a period of chaos and crisis in America. That's what Henry Kissinger says. I think he's absolutely right. I think that's just what Henry Kissinger and the other members of what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness intend. Henry Kissinger is a very evil man. But that, of course, he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, founding member, permanent member of the Bilderbergers, longtime member of the Board of Directors of the Council on Foreign Relations. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. The Concentration Camp Special, or at least the DVD or video that goes with that, our talk on the planned police state, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Remember our number, it's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men.